Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
All right, friends. Hey, welcome back. Got Matt from Super Games Bros here. We are ready to break down some more of this DCU that's coming out, this Superman movie that just took the world by storm. I say it took the world by. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's covering it. Everyone's reviewing it. And we personally think it's phenomenal.
Loved it.
Freaking loved it. So, and we'll get to all the different reactions and different stuff as we go along here. Today, we are going to center on the topic of the message. The whole movie is around, it's like the hook for this thing is that Jor-El message. I didn't really get that until I had said it the last time you and I were talking, but I'm like, wait a second, what's the whole turning point for the movie? It's that the fact that Lex goes and finds Jor-El basically saying, rule over these people, right? So definitely we're gonna be talking about that. We're gonna be talking about Batman and Penguin, right? And the potential of those characters in this DCU. So looking forward to that. And then we'll also wrap up with Matt and I've been talking more about comics, where to kind of look for that James Gunn inspiration. Like what's he pulling from? Where's he driving towards? Like in 10 years, what do we think those big bads or big villains are gonna be coming down the line? So that's our kind of talking points for the day. Let's jump in. We had some good reactions to our Jor-El stuff. Actually, over on Matt pulled a bunch of shorts, posted them over on Instagram and TikTok. And I think we got some people were like, this is it. Like they did not catch that piece that, and that's what James Gunn, he wanted you to do. He wanted you to look at the Jor-El message and think, God, that's different. Or, you know, it's either people think it's different or it's pissed off some Superman fans who are like, that's not Jor-El. And then he would never say that. And it's just like, guys, be smarter. James Gunn is a smart dude. He literally laid a breadcrumb there, which he's going to capitalize on later in this series, in this DCU. And he very well might capitalize on it pretty quickly in the Supergirl movie that's coming up here. I don't know when that's coming out, but I think he'll capitalize on it there.
That's next year. Yeah. So, okay. So yeah, starting with the message and our theory. So you and I did a Superman review over on my channel, and we talked about, we dived just a little bit into it, and we posted some TikToks and YouTube shorts and whatnot about the idea that, man, this message, right, the final bits of it, which Clark never understood, actually, if you remember, he's like, it was muffled, it was broken down. So it sounds like he didn't actually even trust it, whether it was true or not, or if he even thought it was complete,
right? he couldn't even access it. It's
and distorted. So right, and so the question is, you get all these linguists and everybody that this in the government verifies, Mr. Trific verifies it, and all these things, and they're saying, well, we had them all analyze it and this is what they came up with. But to me, that could just be propaganda. It could just be just Lex is the one who's saying it and he wants to do all these things. And whether it is true or isn't, it could just be that's the case. You and I broke it down and talked about Zod. What if this message that was sent was actually Zod had hacked into it? And so when he gets to Earth, that's the case, right? That's what the message that Superman is given, because, you know, look at Man of Steel. That's exactly what happens. Zod shows up. He's like, we need to make these people essentially our slaves, right? Yeah. Like this is going to be a new Krypton. And we've seen that in other Zod stories too. And it kind of got me thinking a little bit. There's one other one, which is Brainiac, and we can go into that. Some people have said, well, maybe Brainiac was the one who hacked it.
Right.
And, right. You know, and we've talked about potentially Brainiac being the first big mega villain of the DCEU. And we can come back to that when we talk about just where we think this whole thing's going. But my thought about this message is, what if this message, like, because, you know, people are saying it may be true, it may not be true. What if this message is true, but what if that's not Jor-El? What if that is Zod, right? Oh, what if Bradley Cooper, what if they're pulling a big, almost like interstellar twist
with
Bradley Cooper, who, if you look at his career, he's never really gotten an opportunity to play a villain. Right. Yeah, he's almost always the good guy. And he's worked with James Gunn a lot. He was Rocket Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxies movie. So it could have just been a very simple cameo. And maybe he'll come back here and there. But it could also be an opportunity for him to expand his career out. And James Gunn be willing to do that. Right. I mean, it could be, he could be like in Interstellar is the first thing I thought of, where you're watching this movie and then Matt Damon shows up. Like, oh, sick, Matt Damon's in this movie. And then he turns out to be the villain. Whoa, wasn't expecting that. You know, Matt Damon is also another person. He's not really the villain in anything ever. And so he got the opportunity to do so in Interstellar. So what if this is the same thing?
That would be huge, because then you go from not just a corrupted or fake message, but an actual fake Jor-El. And the more you go look at how fantastical what James Gunn is trying to do in the Superman series in the DCU, the fantastical elements of the comics, he's pulling that into this show. And that, what I mean is, like, artificial intelligence, there is the ability to fake and fabricate these things and to corrupt those files. I mean, Brainiac could do it. Zod has the technology to do it. I even joked that the Eradicator has the technology. He's technically an AI, you know, a super weapon that has the ability to do that. And he wants to preserve Krypton. So it's like those three individuals, for me, have this mindset to preserve Kryptonian culture and legacy. So, and Superman is there. He's already established himself on planet Earth. He has won over the people, right? We know, even in Man of Steel, when Zod shows up, there's a little adjustments, right? They have to adjust to the yellow sun. Like, Clark has had time to adjust on it. He's grown up there. He understands his powers. He's honed his vision. He's honed all of his powers. So they would still be at a slight disadvantage when they show up. So why even risk that? If you're General Zod, why not just go ahead? And if you can dupe this guy, and if you can get him on your side, and if you can do that through his father or appear to be his father, dude, that would be a twist. And if James Gunn did that, it's bold. It's a bold move. And I could see it happening. I know one thing for a fact. That is not a correct interpretation of Jor-El's message. The same thing happens in Smallville. Brainiac literally impersonates Jor-El in that, right? Season 5 or something, he impersonates Jor-El, and Clark's getting all this sort of like, oh, well, it's conflicting stuff between what Jonathan Kent is telling him, his father, versus Jor-El, who is being, it's really Brainiac, who's telling him to, you know, kind of further this different agenda and to be a vessel for the coming of Zod. So I don't know how people are. It drives me insane to see the comments where people are like, this is stupid. You know, Jor-El would never say that. No shit, Sherlock. I mean, like, come on. So then you've got to think beyond that and say, okay, if that's not really Jor-El, then who is it, or what is going on? What do you say? As a storyteller, you want to lay down that foundation and you want to work towards the reveal of a big boss. So you put that here. In the intro, the reboot to this whole thing. I love your idea, though, that he would be a fake Jor-El, completely fake, and that it's actually Zod. That would be nuts. So
Now, the only pushback I've seen on this, which I think is a pretty good question, is people have said, well, Supergirl's there, right? Like, she clearly hangs out with him. She clearly hangs out with him a lot. But, you know, her origin might be slightly different. Right. They may change it to maybe they were both sent off at, maybe they're the same age and they were sent off at the same time. Right. Like, and I know they're going to be adapting Supergirl Wonder tomorrow, which, oh man, that comic gets kind of dark.
Yeah.
There's some moments in there that are pretty crazy.
Nice.
And so, but it's a phenomenal comic, but that still doesn't mean that you're adapting it page by page. right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean that you're adapting it, but it, by every single thing has to be. I actually, dude, somebody left a comment and it got like, it's on one of our things. It's like, somebody's like, it should be illegal for them to like do that. It's like, what are you talking? What do you mean illegal for them to not adapt it like page by page? It should be an exact adaptation. Like, it's like, but you know, she may be the same age. She may be younger. Yeah. She was born off Krypton. We don't know what her story is yet. We don't know if he's ever asked her. Maybe he's just always believed it is what it is. And she doesn't know. Maybe she doesn't know if it's legit or not. Right.
Truly, she might not. And the other thing, one way or another, she either could reveal, either she herself is duped into believing that is Jor-El and that those are Clark's parents or Kal-El's parents. Or she's going to, once this, because they've never heard the second part of this message, it's as if it was corrupted in the crash and they could never get to that second part or whatever. Is that, it almost seems too intentional. I mean, it's also part of the plot. It's definitely part of, you know, just, it's just the movie. But then she has never heard that message until she comes back drunk from this red sun planet. So really, when we pick up with her right away, as the world has heard that story and she starts to understand what's going on, she can go to Kal and say, this is, we need to like look into this. This is fishy. There's something wrong with that message from Jor-El, because I don't think he would ever say that. Like, or maybe she could interpret, maybe she has a better understanding of Kryptonian linguistics and she can say, this is actually what is being said
right
there.
Maybe they're supposed to be the same age, but Millie Alcock definitely feels younger than David Cornsweet, right? And right. I think he is probably older than her anyway, yes. Like in real life. But you know, I guess the idea is they would both be sent off Krypton at the same time. But that doesn't mean that that's the case. Right.
It's
the case.
We don't, like you said, we don't know. You can change that origin story just slightly if you want to. It's not going to be some people would say it's a cardinal sin. You can't do it. But this is the thing. There needs to be some surprise elements in there. They're taking bits and pieces from those stories and they're bringing them to the big screen. So if that works better for your story to have her in the dark on her people, OK, cool beans. Or is she going to be somebody who is like there to enlighten and help Kal-El understand Kryptonian culture? That would be interesting. You know, either angle you take on it would be really cool. The point is, we just don't know. We don't know because classically she is sent out around the same time, but she's older, stays in stasis, and then she lands, and then she's younger. She ends up being younger than Clark, even though, because he grew up on that planet, you know, the whole thing, right? She's older, but yet younger physically or whatever. So yeah, I think they could reverse that 100%. They could be the same age. And she also then just stayed out there a little bit longer. I mean, think about this. If Superman has only been out for 3 years in this, then she's only been out for what? Has she been out the same amount of time? Like, is there, you know, if it's 3 years of Superman, it'd be like a year of Supergirl or months maybe.
Exactly. And we also don't know what his Superman, we don't know what his time in Smallville was like. Right. Because in Smallville, he's saving the world.
Oh, dude.
Right. But, dude, you know, but Henry Cavill's is like, well, he's just kind of hanging out in Smallville. Like, yeah, Tom Wellings was out there like, he basically was Superman.
Dude, he was Superman the whole freaking time. He was facing like Omega agents were showing up. Remember that? Right. Like Omega was there. Oh, my God. So, yeah, you're right. And he was facing down Brainiac.
Tom Wellings had a Justice League.
You know I know. I'm telling you, Tom Welling I think he has played Superman longer on the big screen-ish TV screen, I guess, than any other person. No one has played Superman longer than Tom Welling. That's why he right now for me is number two. Christopher Reeve was in 4 movies.
Right. It's certainly in terms of live acting. I want to say, is his name? I always forget the guy's name because I don't remember who the voice actor is. It Tim Daly? Is that who it is?
For animation.
Right. It's like how, you know, Batman. It's like, well, Mark Hamill's played the Joker forever. And oh my God, how am I? Blank?
Yeah. Tim Daly. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tim Daly, Superman animated series.
Tim Daly's probably played Superman the longest.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so I think about that in terms of
Just like, you know, yeah, Kevin Conroy, you know, he basically has been Batman in everything. Right. I mean, like, yeah.
Right. So, but dude, I think going back to the Smallville analogy, like in knowing that you informed me that James Gunn was super into that, that like literally fired me up, because I was like, okay, Smallville did so much. It adapted.
Yeah, by the way,
so
for anybody listening, yeah, it's a Variety has said, and I'm looking at, he's not credited in the movie, it doesn't look like, but that Tom Welling was the actor underneath the Ultraman suit.
Dude, I can't believe that. That is honestly awesome. I freaking love Tom Welling.
James Gunn, he's a big Smallville guy. He said it multiple times, which I think that tone fits. Like actually, yeah. Like that, a lot of what happens, I could see Tom Welling's Smallville being into. He would listen to punk rock. He would listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. So, man, and it makes me kind of wonder too, like what they're going to do in the future, and which we can kind of transition to that here in a second, because that is, it's still a mystery box. You know, when I was giving my initial thoughts and review on Superman, I tried to say that, like, you did a great job in setting up, like, Man of Steel and Superman 2025 are totally different movies, right? Totally different movies, totally different Supermans. Hard to even compare those two. But, and I think people are going to lean one way or the other. You either like that one, you love this one, whatever. There's a lot to love out there. But, yeah, I've just been thinking more about, like, where it's going to go. This is a start. This is a new start. It's a reboot. There's so many question marks as to what he wants to pull from. Where does James Gunn want to take this series? And what influences from the comic is he going to pull in? What are those big, heavy-hitting sort of bad guys that we're going to see? I think that's what gives me so much hope. That's why I like this movie so much, is I feel like it was such a good setup. And it seems like it's already incorporating elements of a larger DCU. Whereas Man of Steel, it is a Superman movie. It is just his origins. You get a big origin story, and we really get to know that character, love him. But then the rest of the movies, as we sort of go along, I was saying to you last night, like, I just felt like they weren't paced out very well, and it felt like there was just not enough content. Like I want there to be good high quality content for DC productions, but I also wanted to see something more cohesive, something more fantastical, something that does look like the comics. And that's why for me, the Superman 2025 movie was so great. It's the fact that it's a reboot. It's this restart that is wide open to all these different possibilities. And it makes us speculate, you know, Matt and I, right. We can come on here and have theories. Now we can theorize about where this is going and everything. Whereas, in the Snyderverse, it happened over a long time, but it was so quick.
Everything was a complete, everything was a complete knee jerk reaction too, was the problem.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and you can see, and then they just tried to go back to what worked, which is basically what killed DC for like 20 years, because literally it was, okay, you finish with really, I think you have to start with like Batman and Robin, right? Like that was kind of the end of the whole thing. Okay, you know, the first two Keaton Batman movies were huge. Batman Forever was pretty good. Val Kilmer didn't want to return. Okay, the George Clooney movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah,
flops. Bad, yeah. You know, whole thing. We need to reboot the whole thing. So they do Batman Begins, and then they did Superman Returns, right? And one of those was like new, fresh idea, and the other is like playing completely on nostalgia. Yeah. And it was super expensive. They didn't know if they could dive back into it. And, you know, were they going to do a World's Finest was a topic that was brought up. They were actually planning on doing a full Justice League movie with a different Batman and trying to go in a different direction. Go look up Justice League. Oh, what is it? Mortal. I remember I was looking that into that today, and then I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot all about it. They had a cast and everything, and nothing ended up. Arnie Hammer was the guy they wanted to be Batman, and then he had some like domestic violence issue. He had some legal issues that basically helped also kill that anyway. So I think ultimately what kind of happened was, you, when Man of Steel came out, they hired Zack Snyder, who had done Watchmen and he had done 300. And it was this very like graphic novel style thing. And I love Zack Snyder. 300 is still an amazing movie. There's a lot of things I liked, but there are shots he does where, I mean, he has shots that literally feel like they're outside, like framed right from a thing. It's just, and yeah. I think they also wanted something totally different from what Marvel was doing, which was bright, colorful. It's like, we're gonna go dark and gritty, because also, what was their most successful thing at that point? The Dark Knight, which was based heavily in realism. It was based heavily in the idea of like You know, this is what it would be like if Batman and were an actual person. Like, that's the Dark Knight. The Dark Knight to a T is totally like, this is what, if the Joker were a real person, he would be a terrorist.
Yeah.
And that's what that felt like. And that's part of what made it good. But I think that is, that hung over them. And then some of their most successful comics were Injustice, right? Where Superman goes bad and kills everybody, and their DC animated stuff was knocking it out of the park, going also into that line. So I think you look at the things that influenced them. They had just done the New 52, where they completely rebooted the entire franchise.
Yeah.
And the New 52 started off pretty hot. I mean, some of those early stories in the New 52 were really good. Batman Court of Owls is freaking amazing. Yeah. I really liked Throne of Atlantis. And a lot of those got animated adaptations in the DC animated extended universe, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, crazy going on at the same time. But, you know, look at that. Flashpoint was in there. That's what the Flash movie was ultimately about, you know. So those that's where Snyder was pulling his inspiration from. But a lot of crazy stuff happened. You know, Warner Brothers got bought by AT&T, and then they had all these knee-jerk reactions, and things made money in weird places. Like Man of Steel came out. Okay, this is pretty good. You know, I mean, Christopher Nolan was the executive producer, the guy who had just done the Batman movies. So like Christopher Nolan, like, handpicked Zack Snyder because he likes him. They like, you know, they work together just like Snyder and Gunn work together, by the way. And our friends, by the way, we could totally see Zack Snyder come back and direct the movie. Like,
exactly. Yeah,
I actually would be shocked if he doesn't come back and direct a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, just for sure.
Yeah. And maybe he'll be better. Maybe Snyder will be better in the DCEU as, or the DCU, excuse me, as doing, as having control over one character, as opposed to having to do everything. Right. Because like, look at 300, when he's like, hey, you're going to get this movie. You're going to a graphic novel adaptation. You know, 300, like,
huge. It was sick.
Mega. I mean, you know, it changed tons of stuff. Right. So, yeah, I think that's ultimately, you know, some of the things that set up the DCEU, or the DC extended universe, and then why it ultimately failed. I mean, it's like Snyder was involved in Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman was pretty great. And then he wasn't involved in Wonder Woman 1984 because, you know, his, like, I think his daughter committed suicide or died or something, which is why he left Justice League. They brought in Joss Whedon, total flop. And that really began the death nail to everything, because then it was like Suicide Squad had already flopped. Shazam was kind of okay. Then you had people who didn't want to, like, really play ball with each other. Like, The Rock was like, I'm going to do Black Adam, but I'm not appearing at all in a Shazam movie, because he's like, I'm above that.
Get him
out. You know what I mean? What a joke. I mean, what a joke. Then he basically hardballed them into bringing Henry Cavill in for that cameo at the very end, because he kept teasing it, being like, basically just said it's going to happen before it was even filmed. And Flash, they had so many absurd ideas into like the Flash. I mean, there were moments where it's like Ben Affleck's going to stay as Batman. No, Michael Keaton's going to be Batman. No, Ben Affleck. They filmed an entire Batgirl movie that they had to shelve.
I mean,
for tax reasons, because of the merger. Like, thankfully, all that stuff seems to be like, it's no longer going to be an issue. Hopefully, it all depends, because Warner Brothers is about to split up. But this movie might have literally saved them from potentially being bought, because now they can say, nah, we don't want to be bought, because shareholders would have to approve it. And I would imagine David Zaslav will be like one of the biggest shareholders when that company splits. And he might have enough shares and enough money to say no.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he could be like, now we have this to set us up in this whole big franchise.
Well, like you said, when we first talked about this, you were like, this movie was so important to set up those next 10 years because it had to do well. And it does do well. I mean, honestly, I was watching reviews the other night where what's his name? Ben Shapiro
or Ben Shapiro.
Shapiro. Yeah,
he's a clown. He's a clown on everything he speaks about. Not to get into politics, even Republicans don't like him right now. Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I know. Well, it was funny because I was just going through, I was clicking, I was trying to see, like, hey, there's all these big wigs out there kind of giving their reviews. And I thought, I listened to a few of them, and they, I was thinking they're all going to be trying to point out some sort of wokeness to this movie or find what it, and actually they all kind of came out and said, honestly, there's not a lot of it. And you have to really be going in with that mindset to really look for it. It's actually, you know, they kind of said like, it's a feel good. You go in, it's fun. You have a good time, and then you come back. Now, again, some of them then go on to sort of blast Superman for saying that he's weak and all this kind of crap, which is a bunch of baloney.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book. It's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
By the way,
well, he was injured. Like the whole movie.
He's injured the whole movie. He's also fighting himself, you idiots. He's fighting himself with an intellectually superior individual, right? It is literally Lex Luthor as Superman fighting Superman. Think about that for a second. So, and again, there's even a little bit of a delay. I guess this is, Lex will have to work on this because he has to voice those commands to different controllers. But he'll eventually get to the point where, I mean, look at the end of the New 52. Lex is a good guy. He's got the freaking Superman suit, right? He's solid. Yeah.
Thankfully, I think we're done with New 50. Well, I don't know. That Batman movie might be Court of the Owls, which is like the only thing worth adapting out of New 50. This New 52 starts off good, but it ends kind of not particularly great.
Yeah, and then I've been reading more about Rebirth, and they basically just take pre-New 52 Superman. They say, bring him back.
Like, yeah, Rebirth's pretty good. There's a lot I like in it.
Yeah. So anyways, I guess the when watching that, I thought, man, even these guys who might be super critical of this, there wasn't a whole lot that they could find that was super. They were like, all right, you know, even if they thought it was average or mid or whatever they want to call it, that's your most harsh critic. The harshest critics for this film could only come up with, it's just average. They couldn't really even trash it the way that they might want to trash it and make some money off of that. They couldn't do it because it is just a feel good movie. It feels really good. It's optimistic. And it has those fantastic, the pocket universe is so fantastical. It's so comic booky. It's so cool to have that in there. And it's something that I felt like the Snyderverse and things, it just, I don't know how they would have, you know, pulled that off.
They teased a lot of that. But there was all going to be time travel with like Flashpoint and everything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so this is, I don't know, it just feels like it's more comic booky, and I really like that. So I just had to say that because I felt like, as you're saying, this movie sets up the rest of the DCU, and so it had to be successful. It is successful. The ratings are good. The crowd is loving it, and it's making money. Isn't it like the second highest, or is it the...
It kind of depends. It's doing better a little more domestically than Jurassic Park is, but Jurassic Park's doing a little bit better worldwide right now. Yeah
And then as Superman movies go, it's also doing really well in comparison to so
James Gunn biggest opening. But I mean, to be fair, you know, movie theater, because I track that a lot, trust me, but movie theater box office are not back to where the box office for these past couple of years has been around $8.5 billion, which pre like COVID, I mean, it was way more.
Yeah,
it was like 10 to 12 to even sometimes 13 billion. So like way bigger. So we're still this year, the box office is estimated to be around 9 billion. So it's still gaining it's way back. But with concessions and stuff, movie theaters are doing a little bit better.
Yeah, it's crazy. Our local theater here, they only show like 2 to 3 movies anymore. Like then they only pick the biggest ones. It's just, you know, kind of sad. So hopefully that this is going to be surging back. And I think that was one of Gunn's missions, was to bring people back to the theater again and get people into this big motion picture event. So that feels good. I also think that's like people who are super critical of this movie. I don't get it. I think he's a great freaking Superman. It's definitely a blockbuster hit. It just feels so good to be back in the theater talking about Superman, theorizing about where it's going, digging back into the comics and having conversations. Our videos, those little short videos, have just taken off, and people are
so like over 100,000 on some of them.
And you've got like a 50-50, well actually more, probably like a 60-40 split in terms of people like it, and there's this 40% that are like, oh, like Henry Cavill, blah blah. Dude, I like Henry Cavill too. That's the whole thing. I you know, we both said going into this we were huge fans of what Zack Snyder and that whole, you know, like his cut and everything that they were doing with you know, Justice League and Superman and Batman, all that. It was really cool. But it just wasn't going anywhere and had all those problems that Matt just listed out. So now we can reset. And I hope there's a way to incorporate some of those guys, bring them back in, do something. I don't know what we're going to do. Like, are we going to have another Flashpoint element in this? Or are we going to do some sort of, you know, crisis point or something? Are we going to, who know? I don't know what James Gunn wants to pull off here as sort of these big bads. And so we'll theorize about that as we go along. We'll kind of, I mean, he's actually open and out there on social media talking about this stuff, and he's giving clues and dropping information for folks. And he's leading the charge on this. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool. So,
yeah. Anyway. Well, we can talk a little bit about we're gonna talk a little bit,
Batman,
look at the Batman, and then also some of the comics that I think he's going to be drawing from. So if you look at it, The Brave and the Bold, which is what he's working on, and actually the director of that, I forget his name, it's Andy something or other, but he's the same guy that actually directed the Flash movie. So yeah, a little bit ago. So which also, I mean, he's the guy who directed that, and so he was part of the let's kind of reboot the whole deal, right?
Yeah.
And actually Peacemaker, which is coming out, I went back and watched the trailer and I totally forgot, but it is essentially, I think, going to be happening what we thought was happening, where in Peacemaker his dad builds the vault with like to a pocket universe, and then actually in the trailer for season 2, which comes out in like 3 weeks, by the way, we see him walking through one of these pocket universes, and then he actually comes up to a variant of himself, and he's got like a gun to his head being like, hey, who are you? So I think actually they're all going to escape the old or the DC EU universe that they were in before,
right,
regardless of whatever the Flash does to it, and escape to this. I think they're now in this universe. So my guess is he actually probably kills himself. He kills the version of him in this one.
Right.
Himself, and is then going to be
funny.
It's hilarious. That's my guess, is that's probably what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
So all of the stuff that he's done will still work, but but it will be that character will have now transported into this universe, and you can go from there.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. So now what about like Matt Reeves and
the Batman.
Yeah. Is that?
Yeah. So, yeah, so real quick, I wanted to say Grant Morrison, by the way. That's the author. Grant Morrison, because the Superman movie pulls from All-Star Superman, which Grant Morrison wrote. The Brave and the Bold, what they're talking about, is very heavily done by Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
So that's, if you're looking for the like DC writer, and he's done Green Lantern stuff. He's done, I mean, everything. He's done Superman with the Authority, which is more recent. And I think the Authority is one of the people they want to bring in. So I would say Grant Morrison, you know, he's also done Wonder Woman, stuff like that. So I would say that's probably your guy you should read, is go check out anything Grant Morrison has done DC wise, because that seems like where they're probably going to be pulling from.
Gotcha.
So and he's done Marvel stuff too. Anyway.
Yeah.
The Batman. Yeah. So we've been talking about who do we think is going to be playing him. Now I think after doing some more thoughts about this, more research about this, man, I think I am leaning a little bit more to, in the event they don't go with Matt Reeves, I think I'm leaning a little bit more towards Glenn Powell being the guy, just because, and I was doing some looking around at this, right? So Glenn Powell is in the movie Twisters with David Cornsweet, right? Where David Cornsweet is actually the villain. of Twister-ish. Okay. I mean, the tornadoes are the real villain, but
right.
Yeah. Right. The new Twisters movie. He is like the villain, and they have a pretty good chemistry in that. So like, we've already seen them on screen together, you know, having like a little kind of back and forth, and that could be definitely, you know, kind of fun. The Wonder Woman actress that everybody thinks should play, she's in Andor, and I'm blanking on her name. What is her name? She's his girlfriend in Andor. Adria Ajorna is the girl that everyone is fan casting, and Dave, and he was even asked about it, right? He was asked about
her being
Wonder Woman, and he's like, well, you know, I mean it looks like it could work. And so she and Glenn Powell also did a movie called Hitman, where it's like kind of a rom-com.
Yeah,
pretty funny rom-com, and they have great chemistry together, and I think that they probably will lean more heavily into the Wonder Woman Batman relationship, which they kind of played a little bit with in the DCEU and didn't get into it, which is actually, that's kind of like, you know, that's always been hinted. Sometimes it's Batman and Catwoman, right. You know, whatever way you want to go. But I personally always really like the Batman Wonder Woman relationship. Yeah. And knowing where it seems like James Gunn is interested at, I mean, that's a little more heavy into those comics.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So, so does that mean though, like the Robert Pattinson Batman, or like, is that just...
Well, yeah, I mean, right now it's kind of its own thing.
Okay, so it's its own.
But this is where I could see DC being like, and Zaslav being like, you know, CEO of Warner Brothers being like, yeah, I don't know, man. There might just be too much money. There might be too much money to not do it. Because a lot of people are still hoping for it. And I mean, I'm down either way. As long as it's good, I don't really care. Right. I think that there was work. Both of those movies end with hope. Batman and Superman end with hope. I think they'd be great on screen together. So the Batman 2 is coming out. We know that. I think it's going to be 2027 when we see that. And because he just finished the script and now they're going to start pre-production and all of that stuff. And we don't know who the villain is. The big rumor for a long time has been either Hush or Mr. Freeze. I'm down either way, because I think it would be awesome. I think if you do it right, I'm actually kind of hoping now it's a little more Mr. Freeze, because that could make it, I think, work a little bit more, because his was also very grounded in reality, just like the Dark Knight. You know, there wasn't really any superhuman elements in his movie. There could be, but the Penguin today was just nominated for like 24 Emmys. It's too popular.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The only problem with Pattinson's Batman is the Batman that they want to go with is like year like 8 or 9 nor beyond. Whereas Pattinson's Batman is year 2 Batman.
I'll say,
so that doesn't work. Yeah. I mean, because they want to do Damian Wayne, which is the 4th Robin, because that's his son with Talia al Ghul. I mean, we don't know if he's fought Ra's al Ghul, or we don't even know if this one trained with Ra's al Ghul, right? We don't know how any of that. There was no backstory to it. We don't know they could introduce all of that stuff, but that's the whole deal, is he and Talia al Ghul have a kid together, and then she brings him to Gotham, and then he has to raise him. But I mean, unless you just want to skip over, like, he could be his first Robin, but then you're losing on Dick Grayson, the potential for Nightwing, and Jason Todd, the potential for Red Hood, and Joker killing him. And I mean, you could skip over Tim Drake, because I mean, seriously, nobody cares. But you know, and then Batgirl, like the whole Bat family. It seems like that's kind of what he was gonna go with. But I think they would just work so well on screen together, and they can be different. And I watched an interview today where James Gunn said, like, I'm fine with things being tonally different. Like, that's fine.
Is this so? Because this is a Superman who's only been out for 3 years, and so Robert Pattinson's Batman is, like you said, year two.
By the time we see him next, he might be year three or year four.
Right, could be there. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, because
by the way, real quick, somebody has a screenshot of like when they're fighting in the Superman movie, like one of the news banners that goes by that says, "Huge flood in Gotham." Which is how the van.
Oh man! Oh my gosh! Because you know, I mean, it was good. It was such a good movie, and then the Penguin aligns with that, and I felt like they're building that. Right. If there's a way to make it work. That's awesome. It's unfortunate because Glenn Powell is freaking sick, and I like
you're great too.
He would be amazing.
He would. Yeah, I think Alan Richardson would be great. And just and the thing is that the Batman movie is so far off that they could just because their initial plan was to do Damian Wayne doesn't mean they have to do it.
Right. Right.
Gotcha. Right. I mean, you could just
slow it down.
You could. Yeah, you could be like it was initially titled Batman Brave and the Bold, but it doesn't even have to be. It could be you could call it whatever you want and call it Bat. I mean, it's years down the line. You could totally change the whole plan of it. And as much as I like, you know, Glenn Powell, man, I think I would just try to do Robert Pattinson. There's just why wouldn't you? There's too much money in it. Robert Pattinson has this would be his like his real chance to, I think, break away from like Twilight. Mm-hmm.
And
Harry Potter,
right?
And you know, some people were like, he just doesn't seem like he'd want it. He wants to be Batman, like you know, like a full, like a long, like he wants to be more like Christian Bale. I want to do my trilogy, and leave it at that. But I don't know, man. Robert Downey Jr. I don't think people really can like look at him anymore and just like, oh, he's only Iron Man. I mean, they just look at him as he's a mega star actor mega star. Who is also Iron Man. Like typecasting, like it used to be, isn't the same thing. That was actually just Hollywood people being stupid, right? You know, it's like Harrison Ford was like he was nervous about getting typecast, and so that's why he wanted to do the Indiana Jones movies. Well, then you were typecast as Indiana Jones,
right?
Still doing it. Like, but it was still two separate, totally separate characters,
right?
And then you know you went on and did stuff after, so it all works out.
It all works out, yeah. Because I really would like to see Robert Pattinson's Batman continue. And then here's a question: would if you did Damian Wayne? Because I don't know enough about it. Would you need if you're going to go that route and he's going to be
you need Nightwing. In order to do it, you need Dick Grayson to already be Nightwing.
Yeah. Now, would you also need to have like, does this Superman need to be further along with like his relationship with Lois in a Jonathan
Superman
Kent or no?
This Superman would need to be like, I mean, he couldn't be like a year. I don't think it would work for him to be a year one Superman. You would need it, which is also actually part of the, I think maybe the thing that didn't work out necessarily with the DCEU is you were talking about like a year 9 or 12 Batman mm-hmm. with Ben Affleck, and I think eventually they would have ran into problems because like part of the problem with the DCEU is it didn't set up because they went to like war first, and mm-hmm. you know they there's no really camaraderie. We didn't get to see that on screen. We didn't get enough movies to have opportunity too. But you didn't get to see the Superman Batman camaraderie on screen. Like that's the whole deal. Is they're friends. They're like, you know, they kind of, it's kind of like Goku and Vegeta a little bit, you know, where it's like, then they become friends. They kind of rival each other
right.
a little
yes.
bit. Yeah, but you need that comedy. And that's part of the reason that Batman vs Superman, I think, failed for a lot of people because it's pulled off of the Dark Knight Returns. But in that graphic novel, you know, the whole deal is that they have been allies forever, and it's like Superman mm-hmm. gets sent on to Batman by the president, which is actually mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan. It's like set in the '80s and whatever.
Right.
But it's like, that's what he's like, gets sent to put Batman down.
Jesus.
You know, it's like part of the whole deal. And this, then they changed it. They want to be Lex, but yeah, it was it's like they're friends, you know,
right,
and that's part
right.
of the, part of the deal.
See, I guess what I'm wondering, you know, like with this 10-year plan, like if you did like a phase one of like the first 5 years with a younger Superman, a younger Batman that
and then Robert bring Pattinson, them together.
And yeah, and then merge them together by the end of year five. And then you did like after year five, some sort of time jump, and they both have then Damian Wayne and Jonathan Kent. And I don't know if it's too much, too fast.
Whatever, I don't know. But yeah. I guess my thing is that I'm not particularly worried about it because you, for starters, we know we're getting the Batman 2. So the first time they could even see each other would mm-hmm. be like the Batman 3 or the next Superman movie. So by that time,
yeah,
you know, you could say, well, he's in year 7, which True. Would be a little True. Early for Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
But you could have, you know, whatever. So like, the problem just becomes, do they want the Batman DCEU movie or the DCEU movie mm-hmm. to be out before the Batman 3? Do you need Batman in? But right. I don't know that they do. They've got Clayface, they've got they're also working on a Wonder Woman movie that could come out before Batman shows up in in this whole deal. We know we're getting Supergirl, so you know the Lanterns are taking place. And even if you do, you could have, let's say you have Robert Pattinson and show up in a Superman movie, or Superman goes to Gotham. you could just have him say something like, I thought I told you not to come around here anymore. You know,
you
could have an exchange with them that makes it seem like that, because this Superman's already been around for 3 years. So we don't know. He may have already interacted.
True. With Batman. Yeah, true. Exactly. They're in different cities doing different things. And so
they're pretty close, at least in this universe, because there's an exit sign for Gotham.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely, you know, have run across each other, know of each other or something. But I think what was cool in the comics was that, like, they fought a lot of small bosses at first, you know, and it was a smaller scale thing that sort of builds to something bigger. So I think you have to do that first. Like you said, you know, back when we had, like, you know, Man of Steel, and we were working, like, God, I can't believe that was in 2013, so long ago.
I know,
it's so crazy. But anyways, everything felt really epic, and it accelerated very quickly, and you had big heavy hitting villains, and it just went to another level. Whereas I think you need to almost start gradually and smaller and slower, and just sort of, you know, work into this. I do still look to Marvel, who set the bar pretty high. I mean, their first phase was insane. I want something like that for DC. I want DC to be that well thought out, that well organized and planned, with some crossovers and different stuff happening. It feels like it's going to do that in a way that it's never done it before. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think a month from now, once we see Peacemaker, I mean, Peacemaker season two, the trailer, I mean, you know, he goes to sign up for the Justice Gang, and Guy Gardner's there and they're interviewing him. And
really?
You got to see.
Oh my God. I got to get caught up.
You're dropping the ball, but you need to watch Peacemaker season one and watch the
trailer. Okay. Okay. Cause that's what I want. You know, that's the kind of stuff. Cause before they weren't doing, everything was just a big motion picture. It's a big movie. Right. And now with TV shows, there's so much more that you can kind of do. Right. And like, so I,
yeah, and that was something right. else too, that wasn't really there in like 2013, 2014.
Right.
Like the streaming of shows. And now that is, I mean, look at the Penguin, 24 nominations. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. That was such a good show.
But yeah, I think I would just pull the trigger and just be like, all right, Robert Pattinson, what do we have to do to get you to
sign up
and do this, because his Batman is so good. You know what I mean? That movie is so amazing.
Yeah.
And if the sequel is just, I mean, clearly Matt Reeves knows what he's doing when it comes to Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Penguin just knocked it out of the park too. I mean, like, 24 nominations is no slouch. I mean, that's
huge.
That's like, you're talking like Game of Thrones level, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, right. I mean, that's a big deal.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you got to look at that success as James Gunn and say, yeah, what do we need to do to kind of work this in, and how does it work? I mean, and that's where I want that cohesion, because DC has felt like, what did you call it the other day? Some of those other shows were like the Etherverse or something, like there's the Ether World, Elseworld.
Right. Joker.
Yeah. The Joker.
Elseworld. The Batman currently is considered Elseworld because it's its own thing.
It's its own thing. And so DC, it feels like they've done that for so long that I was sort of like, actually, yeah. Like, back before James Gunn ever comes along and you have that Joker movie, you're like, what, you know, is this a part of anything? And I think for a lot of people, it is confusing,
and that was so good, and that was a great movie too,
right? Really was. Yeah.
And then sure. Joker 2 was off bad.
I never saw it.
Like, it's one of the worst, it's one of the worst movies.
Oh my God.
And what's his name, and the director of that, like, he was just so pissed at like everything, and it's so bad. That's like a whole nother topic, like,
okay, you know, yeah.
James Gunn tried to work with him and he basically told him to f off, like,
wow. Wow. Yeah, so bad. Okay. Well, we don't need any of that. We don't need any of that bull crap. And because again, I'm hoping for success here. I want to be covering this. I want to be, you know, pulling inspiration from comics. I want to be theorizing about what's in the comic. What do they do in previous projects that could work its way into, you know, like Supergirl and this Peacemaker 2 show and so on. Batman the Brave and the Bold, all that stuff. I want to, you know, be theorizing about that for the next 10 freaking years. I just want a cohesive plan put together. It's the same thing I want for Star Wars, which when we wrap this episode up, we're going to be talking about Star Wars here momentarily. So we'll go ahead and do that here briefly. But it's the same thing I wanted for Star Wars. I just want some cohesion. All right. That's all I'm asking for. So, all right. Well, friends, there you go. So a quick little DC chat. We'll be back with more of these because they're phenomenal. My wife has just been like every since the week before Superman, I would say 2 days before, 2-3 days before, actually, I've been doing nothing but Superman research. And Matt is your specialist in everything Batman. So I'm trying to catch up. I have literally, I'm telling you, I've been like last night, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And Lottie's like, what are you doing up? I was just like, research. I still got to research. I'm like, I got to get caught up on some of these things. I had to get a refresher on. I went all the way back to Crisis on Infinite Earth. I was like, I need a refresher again. I need to know everything that sort of happened. And it was fantastic. So yeah, more coming down the line. Hey, links to all of our socials down below. Check those out. Check out the clips. By the way, feel free, you guys who listen on the podcast or just listen over on the YouTube channel, go check out those shorts and dive in the comments there. Let us know what you think, because I think we have a lot of friends who are also really into this new DCU and they're really excited about it. So, you know, I was in there myself the other day. I don't typically get in the comments, and I'm in there commenting away. I never do that. I try to stay out of it. I just want to, you know, do content and focus on that and let the comments go crazy. But dude, I was so passionate and fired up about this. I was in there myself.
Let's go.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
That's great.
So anyways, all right, guys. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back with more, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.